Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Hi there. Welcome along to the Racing Post Football Postcards Cup Final Special. I'm Bruce Millington. Back in the technical area, replacing Jack Reeve. Poor old Jack, what a week he's had. First of all, he sees Norwich complete their miserable return to the Championship. And then he decides to jet off to, guess where, Spain for a break to get over it. And of course, within hours of getting there, he finds out he's got a quarantine for 14 days when he gets back. Who would have Jack's luck? But he says he's having a lovely time, so that's good news. I'm delighted to be joined by the A-team of Mark Langdon, Warren Ashurst and Paddy Powers. Emmett O'Keefe, what have we got on the show? We're going to touch upon tonight's second leg of the Championship playoff semi-final, where Fulham are looking to get the job done and set up a Wembley clash with their West London rivals, Brentford. And then we will look at some of the issues surrounding the Premier League next season, because obviously this season's done and dusted. We're not quite sure who the 20th side to join the 19 survivors is, but we will find out and we'll look at the big issues at the top and bottom of the table. We will get stuck into, it's not the most magic or glamorous FA Cup final of all time, but it should be an interesting game and hopefully the boys have unearthed some decent bets. And then if you thought that was the end of the season, you are very wrong, because we've got a really exciting August featuring the climax of the Europa League and the Champions League. Champions League we'll look at in greater depth in next week's show, but we will have a good look at these concluding round of 16 ties in the Europa League, which take place next Wednesday and Thursday. First up, though, Premier League. Liverpool got the job done, Man City second, Man United and Chelsea claimed the final Champions League spots. And at the other end, Villa somehow survived. Jack Grealish, absolutely superb. Watford and Bournemouth joined Norwich in the Championship. So let's have a little look back. First of all, Mark, how was the season for you anti-post? What was your favourite bet? And did you have any absolute nightmares?
Favourite bet was one that was placed in the middle of the season on the whole to be relegated. One that had its its ups and downs. I mean, when Wigan got the deduction, I thought it was ruined. But thankfully, Hull just got worse and worse. So,
what price did you get?
Yeah, it's gonna sound terrible, Bruce. It started at 250s and went down to 66. So,
oh my god!
People prefer to hear about losers, don't they, rather than winners? So,
I've got plenty of them. Don't worry.
Try and be a bit shy.
No. I think you should be as smug as you possibly can on that. 250-1 winner. That's incredible. Well played.
Only small amounts allowed on at 250, but then went round and got some other prices as well. In terms of the worst, I think one of my worst selections ever actually was Mansfield to win League Two. I was all over them to win it, and I had various multiples that had Mansfield in as well. It was over before August, really. You could tell that they just weren't good enough.
So Mansfield worst, Hull best. What about you, Warren Ashurst? What was your favourite and least favourite anti-post? Did you have a sentimental wager on your beloved Liverpool?
I didn't. I did Dennis, really, to be honest with you, Bruce. I like Mark, but not as anywhere near as big a price. Had a little bit on Hull. But this was only after lockdown, I have to admit. And so it wasn't anywhere near as big a price as Mark says about them going down. I was a little bit frustrated on a couple of my bets. I have to say, I went with Wolves to finish in the top four kind of mid-season, and also for Brighton to go down as well. I was kind of, when they were on that bad run at the turn of the year, I was absolutely adamant that Brighton would be relegated. But I have to take my hats off to Graham Potter and his players, because I thought they got a couple of really big results after lockdown, which kind of eased their fears, and the teams below them weren't getting results together. So that was my frustration. I still feel a little bit for Wolves, because I think they've been better than what maybe the league position would suggest, to be quite honest with you. And I think maybe over the course of it, maybe should have deserved top four.
Yeah, fair enough. And Brighton have bought Adam Lallana. What a terrific buy that is. Emmett, did you have any joy or was it all woe for you? You're super shrewd. I bet you boys must have some incredible anti-post, don't you?
Yeah, unfortunately, I missed out. Some lads in the office were tipping up the whole relegation about the massive prices that Mark was saying, and unfortunately, I missed out on that train. But probably the best bet I had anti-post was, again, this is, I think most people in the office fancy this, was Leeds to win the championship, anywhere from, I think, six to one last summer. And although there was some heartache along the way, they eventually got there reasonably comfortably. The worst bet I had was definitely Leicester to finish top four. I think I was kind of right in the logic about in terms of like the top four being weaker this year, as you've seen by the kind of relatively low points totals that Man United and Chelsea got. But I think the kind of the nature of the lockdown and the games coming every three days really hurt Leicester, and they're kind of slightly smaller squad, and the losses to Pereira, Chilwell, Madison, etc., really hurt them when they just missed out in the end, having traded probably 1.1 at one point.
Yes, well, you and me both, my friend. I'm afraid I had all my eggs in the Leicester basket. I mean, I got without the big six, and I got the top six, but I mean, the top four was almost impossible. And worse still, one bookmaker on the day Maguire joined United offered 7-1 Leicester to finish above United, and I took that. I mean, how did that bet lost? I've absolutely no idea. Let's look ahead to next season. The market suggests, Emmett, that it's not just going to be another Liverpool versus City shootout, doesn't it? Tell us the latest bet and then give us your early thoughts on where the value might lie.
Yeah, so the Man City are 10-11 favourites, Liverpool 15-8, Man United 8-1, Chelsea 14-1, Arsenal and Arsenal 50-1, 66 is bar. I think the Premier League winner market is definitely a reflection of what the expected summer business will be. And from all indications, Liverpool won't be spending big, really. Maybe Thiago Alcantara might come in, but if it is, it'll be, by modern football standards, relatively low-budget, kind of low-budget signings, where I'd expect City to spend big and trying to sign at least one centre-half as a partner for Aymeric Laporte. And possibly, and they've recently signed Ferran Torres from Valencia. I in terms of the outright markets in general, I think the only bet I'd consider would maybe Leicester for top four, 5-1, for all the reasons I kind of gave before. I don't expect that much kind of business to be done this summer, and I could see Leicester holding on to most of their main players, and I wouldn't even rule out, maybe considering their ownership, them bidding for possibly the likes of Jack Grealish or some of the other kind of exciting talent on offer. So Leicester 5-1 was the only, for top four, was the only bet that stood out to me.
Yeah, no, I hear you there, because I mean, I just think they were absolutely crippled by injuries. Those two fantastic fullbacks, both out, Maddison out. I thought they should go after Wilfred Zaha. I think if they get him, I think he would really strengthen them. I know that everyone rates Harvey Barnes, but I'm not that mad. And Mark, what's your views on the Premier League for next year? Does anything jump out?
Well, I mean, the early 25-1 Man United was crazy, wasn't it? I think I don't think they will win it, but you had to, I think, you know, just had to get on that. I'd probably just edge slightly towards Liverpool, I think, just at the prices. I mean, Man City did dominate the expected goals, and I think they are the best team in the Premier League, but I would still sort of like to see them actually sign those players that Emmett talked about before I back them odds on to win the Premier League, because Aguero's 32. So, I mean, he's not getting any better and he still picks up his injuries. You know, if you have a look at that team, I mean, it definitely missed a centre-half. I mean, even when Laporte came back, there were issues. Left-back Mendy's getting worse. I can't believe the play, how worse he's got in the last 18 months or so. He doesn't seem to have come back from his injuries massively well. So I don't think there were any excuses for Man City this year. In terms of the Laporte injury, yeah, sure. But, I mean, you know, you've got to be able to absorb one injury. I mean, it could happen again, couldn't it? So, I mean,
I think they're a soft football team. I just don't think they've got a brutal mentality, and that doesn't mean turn yourselves into the crazy gang. I just don't think they've got character in that team. They're obviously the best. They knock it around. They're fantastic on their day. They can play anyone off the park. But I just think sometimes, you know, when Liverpool came back from 1-0 down against Villa, I don't think City would have done that. I just don't think they've got it in them to really, I don't know, I just think they lack character.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, it's hard. I mean, they, you know, they, I'm conflicted because I just, whenever they're playing anybody, I always fancy them to win. You know, because I just look at the way they can dominate teams. But I mean, if we're talking about, you know, having an investment for the next 10 months at odds on, it's just not for me, really, that one on Man City. And they are the best team. It's just, you know, if they do bring in Koulibaly and maybe a left back and, you know, somebody else in sort of that midfield position, because Fernandinho, I think they missed Fernandinho, sort of, you know, his influence on the team. He's 35 now, so he can't play in every game. He's maybe that person you were sort of talking and alluding to there, Bruce, that maybe would drive them forward. I mean, I think he's... you know, he's not somebody you can rely upon anymore, is he? I mean, Kyle Walker's 30. How many more? So, you know, he's not getting any better, is he? So, I mean, De Bruyne probably can't play any better than he did personally. He was fantastic, and they've still finished a mile behind Liverpool. And I understand why City are the price they are, but I mean, I don't think I could back them.
No, I thought Fernandinho looked a bit tubby after restart as well. It's quite weird.
I mean, he's not the only one, Bruce.
No, quite. Warren, what are your thoughts in terms of the top of the table for next season?
I have to say, I kind of agree with Mark on this, because I think I wouldn't be having City at odds on until I've seen what they've done in the transfer market. You've already alluded to it there. They could do with another centre-half. In my opinion, two new full-backs as well. I think Kyle Walker's been quite a bit off the pace this season. Let's not forget they're losing David Silva, who's been an absolute talisman. And yes, Phil Foden is going to be an amazing player if he carries on the way he is at the moment. But it's a big ask to come in and straight away replace David Silva like that. I think Jesus has not quite been where Pep Guardiola expected him to be when he's come in to replace Sergio Aguero. And yes, if you were pinning me down at the moment to say, who do you think will win the title? I think City would be the team to beat. But I think at odds on, and before we know what they're going to do in terms of signings, and I think it's a bit short for me to go with them at the moment. Liverpool 15-8 at the minute. They will need a couple of new additions. Klopp's already said in the full-back area in particular. I'm thinking mainly at left-back, really, to be honest, where there's nobody really to cover Andy Robertson when he's out. I think there's a massive price for Chelsea at 14-1 at the moment. When you bear in mind the players that they've brought in with Timo Werner, and with Ziyech, and the possibility that there could be Kai Havertz as well. Yes, okay, we know they need to strengthen at the back, and they may well have to bring in one or two defenders, and potentially even yet a goalkeeper as well. But I think they've shown quite a lot going forward, and I think stability in midfield as well, to suggest that that's quite a big price, although it might be too soon for them to actually win it.
Interesting. Okay, let's look at the bottom. I know Paddy Power don't have relegation odds yet, but I have seen one of their rivals put a show up, and I'll read that out. It's 11-10 West Brom, 7-4 Villa, 9-4 Palace, 3 Brighton, 3 Burnley, 100-30 Sheffield United, 7-2 Leeds, 4 West Ham, 4 Newcastle, 11-2 Southampton, Everton 20, and it's 33-1 Bar. Pick the bones out of that. Warren, any value hit you there as I read them out?
The value for me there, Bruce, I think, is Newcastle. I think they're, at the moment, completely in disarray behind the scenes, because we don't know whether this takeover is going to go on or not. And going into a new season like that, and uncertainty over the manager with Steve Bruce is not healthy. I think Bruce has done an amazing job with the squad that he's got. But I also think that there is the chance that maybe one or two might go. And I think also defensively as well, at times this season, they've looked a little bit all over the place. So I think Newcastle look a pretty decent price in terms of that. I think there's one or two others you could look at in terms of obviously the promoted teams. I think West Brom and Leeds will probably just about be all right, in my opinion. I think they've got enough probably experience of top flight football in there at the moment, plus maybe one or two additions to maybe keep them up. And obviously we look at whoever wins the playoffs, and we always consider them to be there or thereabouts.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the trouble with that Newcastle bet is by the end of September, it could either look really good value or absolutely laughable with Pochettino as manager and Zaha and, you know, Cavani up front. So, yeah, that's an interesting one. Mark, what about you, your early relegation thoughts?
I would definitely be interested in Newcastle, Bruce, because the takeover, it's taking a long time now, isn't it? I mean, and if they don't get taken over... I look at that squad of players, say outside of say Almiron and Maximin, and you it's got relegation written all over it at the moment. I mean, on expected goals, they were a team that should have gone down this season, really. So, I mean, I think they are definitely of interest. I disagree with Warren in terms of West Brom. I think West Brom have got it all on to stay up. I've never been a massive fan of Slaven Bilic. And also, I've looked at their team and thought that they were sort of short in all areas. And I wasn't sure that they had the investment in them to really go out and, Pereira's a fantastic player and he's one that will be able to step up. But the rest of them, I wasn't so sure about. Leeds, I think Leeds will be top half next season. So I don't envisage them being involved. And if Brentford come up, I think they'll be fine. If it's Fulham or Cardiff, I think they'll go down.
Okay, Emmett, any relegation value there?
Yeah, no, I'd echo Mark's thoughts there. Really, definitely Newcastle. Like, no Newcastle player scored. I think Jonjo Shelvey was their top scorer in the league this year with 6 goals. So that's obviously not a sustainable formula. And like, I watched maybe West Brom maybe 3 or 4 times live this year. And every time they played, they never really impressed me. They looked very limited in possession and quite reliant on prayer, as Mark said. So I definitely look for West Brom and your kind of pre-season accumulators. The other one maybe would be maybe Burnley if Sean Dyche were to leave. Because I think that squad, again, is pretty mediocre, and Sean Dyche is absolutely maxing out their talent the last few years. He did a superb job this year. So if he were to go to maybe even Palace or somewhere else... There's been reports of him having rifts with the Burnley chairman over kind of a lack of spending this summer. So I think yes, but West Brom be my most confident selection for sure.
Okay, what about Palace?
Well, I mean, the key is does Zaha stay or go? And I mean, there's stories today that Palace are going to do their usual thing of pricing him on what he's worth to us, which is a lot less than what he's worth to any other club. So I do think we've got problems. I mean, it's a very ageing squad. They're poor after lockdown. But against that, if I see Palace at 9-4, Mark, and I see Villa at 7-4, I've got to be with Villa all day. I think they're crap. I think they're really poor. I think Jack Grealish is the player of the year. I mean, how he kept them up single-handedly, it just shows what an absolutely great, great player he is. And if he goes, I think they've got absolutely no chance. No chance whatsoever. I just think I honestly think they're rubbish. I just think they're a complete one-man team. I know people say Palace are, and we are to an extent. But, you know, 9-4 plays 7-4. I mean, we can certainly go down. But to me, the outstanding value there is Villa. But all day. Okay,
United. Sorry, Bruce. Just quickly, Sheffield United were odds on, weren't they, this time last year? Yeah. And they're now, what, 7-2? Then people will be kicking. Yeah, people will be kicking themselves if you know, they suffer the old second season syndrome. I don't think it'll happen, but, it's happened before.
It's going to be very interesting, that, though, isn't it? Really, really interesting, the relegation race already. And let's just quickly touch upon who might be joining the elite in the Premier League. So Brentford already through the playoff final is next Tuesday at Wembley. And then Fulham, I think, have got 2-0 up and they're playing Cardiff tonight. Very quickly, lads, any bets on this game that you fancy, Mark?
Not on this game, but just in terms of the championship, I mean, I'd back Brentford against either of them. And I hope that it's Fulham, because you get a better price on Brentford, who beat them 2-0 at Craven Cottage the other week. I mean, you know, they had their little wobbles against Swansea and then in the first leg, and they couldn't quite get over the line, in the two opportunities they had. But if you look, Stoke then went out and beat Forest, 4, and Barnsley were nowhere near relegation form. I mean, anybody that sort of was rating teams had Barnsley well ahead of where they are in the league table. So I don't think those results actually were quite as bad. Brentford are the best team left by a long way. So I tipped them up last week and I'll do it again.
Okay, you just reminded me of another of my anti-post horror shows, Forest to make the playoffs. Really enjoyed that. Warren, any playoff thoughts?
I have to agree with Mark. Of what I've seen of the teams of late, I do think that Brentford are the better side. I will be more concerned about having a bet on them against Fulham than against Cardiff. I think Fulham are going to go through to the final by the looks of things anyway. Again, it's one of those, isn't it, with a playoff final. You're never sure what's going to happen. I mean, we all remember the previous final where Derby County absolutely battered down the door against Queen's Park Rangers, and we ended up with Bobby Zamora getting the winner with 10 men. And these things do happen from time to time. But I say, I agree with Mark. I think Brentford are the better team.
Okay, and Emmett, any value in the in what we've got in the remaining couple of games in the Championship promotion race?
Yeah, no, I'd echo the lads' thoughts on Brentford there for this evening's game, which I think over 2.5 goals was maybe worth the look. Clifton, 4 of Cardiff's last 5 games, and I wouldn't expect Cardiff to go close to qualifying this evening, but I would expect it to be a pretty high-scoring affair, so that's the way I look there.
Lovely stuff. Let's do the FA Cup final next.
It's the FA Cup final on Saturday, and Paddy Power are giving money back as a free bet if Chelsea win in 90 minutes. Terms and conditions apply. Teamplusbecomeaware.org.
Right then, it is FA Cup final day on Saturday. Arsenal take on Chelsea. It is, let's get this out of the way before we take a positive spin on it. The least glamorous, least romantic and least magical FA Cup final of all time. These two teams have won 14 of the last 23 FA Cups. They've been in the final twice already this century, Arsenal winning on both occasions. It will be empty, it will be soulless, but it's a live football match. It's on BBC and it's an interesting betting event. So no more negativity. And the other thing, of course, we need to get the older they played for both clubs back out. And we're not coming off air until we've got an 11 of players who've played for Arsenal versus Chelsea. So while Warren and Mark get their thinking caps on for that, Emmett, take us through Paddy Power's latest cup final betting.
Sure. So Arsenal are 23-10 favourites, the draw 12-5, and Chelsea are 11-10.
And to win the cup?
So to win the cup, yeah, sorry, Chelsea are 8-13 and Arsenal are 11-8.
Excellent stuff. Right then, what have we got, chaps?
I've got Petr Cech in goal.
Yeah.
We've got Gallas as centre-half. Ashley Cole as left-back.
David Luiz at centre-half as well.
Yeah, there's Fabregas in midfield. I've got Anelka up front.
George Graham.
Try not to mention him.
What have you got, Warren?
I had Cech, David Luiz, Ashley Cole, Fabregas. I'm just trying to think of any more forward players that we could maybe throw
Giroud.
In.
Giroud, of course. Yeah. Giroud's up front, isn't he? Yes, indeed. Okay, well, we're getting there then, aren't we? Okay, well, listen, just blurt any others out you think, but we've got...
Yossi Benayoun.
Yossi Benayoun?
Yeah. Did he? I think, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Goodness,
injured for both of the spells, but I have a memory of seeing him play for Chelsea.
I'll tell you what, a legend of the 70s, Alan Hudson, played for both. What a player he was. So he's in there. Okay, well, we've done well, but like I say,
I've got another one, Bruce. I just had to check it, but Graham Ricks, he played once for Chelsea.
Wow, how about that?
1995. We'll now move past Graham Rixon, maybe.
Okay. Right, excellent. Well, we're well off and running with the team there. More importantly, where is the value on the 2020 FA Cup final? Warren Ashurst, take it away.
I am going to say there's value in goals here, Bruce, because I think neither of the teams can defend at the moment. And I think that they know that their strength is going forward. I've looked at over 3.5 goals with Paddy Power, 11-5 for that. That would not surprise me one iota. I think also if you're looking at goal scoring markets as well, I mean, Aubameyang, his future still in the air at the moment. And when that's still the case, it'll be out to impress any possible suitors, of course. He's 11-8 to score at any time. I'm already sort of leaning towards Chelsea. I think they've probably got, for me, more firepower at the moment in terms of goals. 11-10 for Chelsea to win in 90 minutes. And also, as well, I'm looking at the goal-scoring markets is something that appeals to me in this game. And Pulisic, I think, has been absolutely outstanding since he came back from injury. And even before then, he was good as well. 12-5. To score at any time. We'll be amazed if he doesn't start the game on Saturday. And I think he could be one to watch.
Excellent. Joe, funny enough, Warren, I had a quick flick through the markets and I was amazed Paddy Power would pick them on the over 2.5, 17-20 each of two. I very much agree with you. And it's nice going into a game, isn't it, to fancy goals, because I know that you always feel like the value's probably backing boring things. But I totally agree with you. I think this could be a really free-flowing goal fest. Let's hope it is. Mark, what about you?
First of all, the late and great David Rocastle,
who was, yeah,
I mean, what a player he was.
Yes, I played against him when I was 11.
Oh, okay.
And they absolutely wiped the floor with us, and he was outstanding. And our manager went into the changing room and said, "What's that bloke called?" And he came back and he goes, "That kid who just killed us is called Rocastle. Keep an eye out for him." And yeah, incredible player.
I would edge towards goals as well. I think if you were sort of looking to play the overs or unders, I think I'd probably rather be on the overs. But I'm going to disagree with Warren and go for Arsenal to win the game, just really on the basis of how they played the two matches against Chelsea this season. I think Chelsea had major issues against Arsenal. They did win the first game 2-1 at the Emirates, but if you can remember that game, it was absolute robbery. Arsenal were all over them, and then there was Bernd Leno made a mistake for one of the goals, and then Arsenal gave it away right at the end, which, you know, always got it in them. But then they played them again at Stamford Bridge, played 10 men for most of the match, got a 2-2 draw in that game. And I think they've caused Chelsea, more problems than most teams this season when they've played them. And I do think that Arsenal are getting better under Mikel Arteta. Every time they lose or have a disappointing result, you know, they get heavily criticised. I think they get sort of more criticised than, say, a Tottenham or something like that, a team that's probably of a similar level to them. And it was like, you know, here we go again when they lost against Aston Villa recently in the Premier League. But I think that was understandable, that game against Aston Villa. They had just played Liverpool and Man City back-to-back and won both games. And, you know, maybe it was either if it's after Lourdes Michel or they're a little bit tired, I don't know. But I think we can forgive them that. They then came flying out the traps against Watford, were 3-0 up. Game was virtually over before Watford came back into it late on. Arsenal start thinking about the FA Cup final. They've beaten Liverpool. They've beaten Man City. The way they defended in both of those games, I think, should give them really big encouragement that they're able, you know, to go toe-to-toe with Chelsea. And for me, it feels like a game that's closer in the betting than the odds suggest. So, I mean, I think Arsenal to win the trophy is probably the way I'd be going.
Who do you think is the better manager, Mark?
I think long term, I think Arteta will have a more successful career. And that's not to demean really what Lampard has done so far, because, I mean, it seems to be that there's two camps. There's some people that think he's a bit of a fraud and just sort of like a Tim Sherwood with a better team. There are other people that think he's the greatest manager that England's produced since Alf Ramsey or whatever. I mean, as ever, the truth probably, you know, somewhere very vast, and it'll be in the middle somewhere. I think he did par at Derby, taking them to the playoffs. And I think at Chelsea, he's rewriting history when he said that nobody fancied them to finish in the top four. They were about 11 to 10 to finish in the top four, but he has finished in the top four. They're in an FA Cup final. I think they're heading in the right direction, but I just think Arteta, I look at Arsenal, and as a Spurs fan, I look at Arsenal and I'm quite concerned, actually, because I do think that he's got it. To me, it looks like he's Pochettino all over again. I can see similarities between the way that Pochettino had to get rid of some of the bad eggs in that Tottenham dressing room right at the start. And you they have the odd bad performance, but I think that's acceptable when you're this sort of new into a journey. But the way they played against Man City, it didn't feel like a fluke to me when they beat them 2-0. They had to defend well, but you have to defend well against City. They countered really well, and they were very brave in the way that they played. And I think that they're definitely heading in the right direction, Arsenal.
And of course, Mark, if they need to win this to get into Europe, I mean, it'd be almost unthinkable for Arsenal not to be in Europe next season.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe it. It's like 20-odd years since they've had this bad a league position, finishing 8th or whatever it was when they eventually finished. I mean, in some way...
And you've got left, Mark, which is, you know, fair play to you.
Yeah. I mean, I think I think if you look at Arsenal in terms of Europe, it might not be a bad thing to be out of it, but it's just not the way pros go at it, is it? I mean, you know, from their point of view, you know, it's better to be in the Europa League than not. But I just think from Arteta's point of view, like having a free week could be quite important, you know, the way he wants to lay the team out.
Okay, fair enough. John Hollins can play in the team. Go on, sorry, Warren.
Sorry, Bruce. I've got two more Chelsea and Arsenal players. A bit of a French link here. Lassana Diarra, if you remember him. Went on to play for Real Madrid and he played for Portsmouth, but probably a bit of a bigger name than that.
Petit.
Who? Oh, Manu Petit.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, yeah. With John Hollins as well. We're overflowing. We're filling the bench up now. Well played, lads. Emmett, how do you see the cup final going?
Yeah, it's. I think it's interesting. Normally, if they were playing right during the league a few weeks ago, I would have fancied overs. But I would expect both teams to line up with a back three, and I would fear that it could be kind of a tight game with both kind of systems cancelling each other out. My kind of feeling, like Mark, would be that Arsenal have definitely improved under Arteta, even though the expected goal statistics since the lockdown don't really bear that out. Having said that, when I watch them, I do feel like they're a bit more solid defensively, and certainly Kieran and Tierney's return from injury has been a significant boost for them. I think he makes their back three work, even whether he's playing as a wing-back or if he plays there in their central back three. He gives them some much-needed pace there. And I'd expect Arsenal to be quite solid defensively. I think Frank Lampard made the right move last week with dropping Kepa for Willy Caballero. As I think it's been well documented at this stage, Kepa has the worst shot stopping percentage in the Premier League, and possibly one of the worst ever shot stopping percentages in the Premier League. So I think he had to go to Caballero. But from whatever Caballero has played, and especially for Argentina in the past, he struggles with the ball at his feet. And Arsenal actually scored quite a few goals this season from dispossessing the keeper when they press really high off a backwards pass. So I would expect Arsenal to put a lot of pressure on him. And at the match prices, I would definitely lean Arsenal. But the kind of the bets I really liked were one firm had Man of the Match market up, and there's some 20-1 on David Luiz out there. Like the narrative is just too obvious there. I think the commentators like Sir Martin Keown, etc., will be nearly looking for him to give him out of the match. And also, Chelsea have struggled to defend set pieces throughout the season, so Luiz will be a threat there.
Imagine having a bet based on the judgment of Martin Keown. Blimey, you're taking a chance with that, aren't you? Good grief. Rather you than me, old Bing. Sorry, go on. What was the other bet you had?
No worries. Yeah, the other bet I was thinking was, I think Marcus Alonso, 13-2, score 8 times, decent bet. He scored four goals in 15 starts this year. And he was quite prolific under Antonio Conte when he played as a wing-back. And I expect him to play as a wing-back here. He's a big threat in the air and has scored against Arsenal in the past. The only slight disadvantage is he won't be on the free kicks, most likely, after Mason Mount's effort last week. But I still think 13-2 any time is a fair bet.
Excellent stuff. If he celebrates, I think his celebration should be really theatrically quickly tracking back just to have a go at Gary Neville for that brilliant dig that Neville gave to him when he just sauntered back against West Ham the other week. That was superb. Okay, so Emmett thinks it's going to be low scoring. He edges towards Arsenal. Warren says go overs. And Mark, the Tottenham fan with gritted teeth, thinks that Arsenal will win the cup. Before we move on, I will just press you for a scoreline. Mark Langdon.
Yeah, I also will shout out, I did tip Arsenal before the third round on the postcard, so the anti-post voucher going for them as well. So I don't know if I can actually say come on you Gunners, I definitely won't, but it'll be some compensation anyway. I'll go for a 2-1 Arsenal win.
Warren?
I'm going to go, like I suggested for goals, I'm going to go 3-2 Chelsea.
Excellent. Let's hope it is. And Emmett?
1-1 in normal time. Arsenal to win an extra time.
Excellent. Thank you very much indeed, gents. Let's turn our attention to Europe next.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Being on the front cover of Rolling Stone magazine? Special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Football Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Warren Ashurst, Mark Langdon and Paddy Power's Emma O'Keefe. As I said at the start of the show, we've got a real Euro treat once the domestic action is over and done with, because basically, virtually the whole of August is taken up with the exciting business of who's going to win the Europa League and the Champions League. Mini tournaments, no less. It's going to be brilliant. Next Wednesday and Thursday, we clear up the final round of 16 business in the Europa League. Most of the first legs have taken place. They're all in a bit of sixes and sevens. But we've got Man United taking on LASK, which is, what's that stand for? Linsk Athletic Sporting Club, I believe, an Austrian, my best Austrian accent there. They're 5-0 up from the first leg. Let's remind ourselves of what's going on in the Europa League in the form of an outright show of betting from Paddy Power, Emmett.
Yeah, so Man United are 5s at 15-8, Inter Milan 9-2, Leverkusen 6-1, Wolves 13-2, Sevilla 13-2, Roma 13-1, Shakhtar 14-1, Getafe 14-1, and 25-1.
Okay, I always thought Man United were terrible value for this, but then since their post-lockdown rejuvenation, you can see why they're favourites. I will tell you who's playing on Wednesday, and the boys will tell you what bets they like. 5:55, Shakhtar versus Wolfsburg. Same time, Copenhagen versus Istanbul, something or other. 8 p.m, Man United versus LASK, and also 8 p.m, Inter v Getafe. What do you like, Mark?
Istanbul Basaksehir, Bruce. Recently, crowned Turkish champions with Gael Clichy, Rubinho in their squad.
What price were they at the start of the season?
They've been knocking on the door in terms of Turkish league in recent years, actually. So they would have been behind the sort of your Galatasaray's, but Beşiktaş and Fenerbahçe both had sort of issues financially in the last couple of years. So it wasn't a massive shock. Like I said, they have been knocking on the door. I mean, in terms of bets for this, and the one that I like in terms of the it's a game that hasn't been started yet in terms of that last 16, really. In terms of the ones where they have played, I mean, I thought that Wolves would probably beat Olympiacos and get through. But the bet that I like is Inter to beat Getafe, which is being played on the 5th of August.
Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah, man? I'm trying to work out what day that is. That's Wednesday. So it's a one-legged tie because they've not got the opportunity to play two legs. Getafe finished last season, this season rather, in horrendous form in Spain, missed out on a Europa League spot. And I think the Inter, will be going all out for this competition. Now, it wasn't a priority when they dropped into it from the Champions League. And then, of course, they had the Serie A title race with Juventus, but that's gone as well. So the fact that it's now being played in August, I think, gives them a decent opportunity to go at it. So, I mean, I fancy them outright. And so if I do that, I've really got to be quite strong on them beating Getafe in this sort of round of 16 one-legged tie. It's been played in Germany, I think.
Oh, wow, blimey. I can never say Getafe without doing it in a Jerry Armstrong. Getafe. Yeah.
And Bruce, one of your former Palace boys was recently sacked as the LASK manager.
I just noticed that. Just literally, when I was trying to do some research for this, Valerian Ismail. He joined us from, I think, Lons or somewhere for a ridiculous fee and was gone before we even got the chance to see how good he was. I couldn't believe that. That was extraordinary.
He did really well last season. And then they've run into financial problems this year. And he sort of paid the price for that and sort of a downturn in results. But I was a bit surprised that they got tonked 5-0 by Manchester United, because they'd actually done reasonably well in the competition up to that point. It might have just been, just rabbits in the headlights type thing. So goodness knows what's going to happen to them in the second leg, really. I mean, how do you keep players motivated when they feel like they should be on holiday and they've got a game an empty stadium when they're 5-0 down before the game's even started? I mean, that feels like a bit of a thankless task to me.
Oh, does it ever. But I'll just rattle through the Thursday ties as well, by the way. Sevilla v Roma, Bayer Leverkusen versus Rangers, Basel v Frankfurt, and Wolves versus Olympiacos. So, 8 games to get stuck into. Mark, you've settled on Inter and... Who was it? Or is it just Inter?
No, it's just Inter to
just
win.
Just Inter for Mark. Yeah. What about you, Warren?
As an outside bet, and I don't think they'll go through because they're 3-1 down from the first leg, it might be worth also looking at Rangers at 7-2, and for a couple of reasons. They're back in league action, of course, before then, so they'll be fully fit, fully ready to go, and with question marks over Kai Havertz's future at the moment at Bayer Leverkusen, I just wonder whether there's a few things sort of lingering over that club in terms of who will be there next season. So maybe Rangers to win on the night might not be a bad shout at 7-2. I don't think, as I say, they'll go through overall, but that's a bit of an outside bet.
Excellent. Interesting stuff. Thank you. And Emmett, what do you like?
Yeah, I think definitely Sevilla versus Roma. Roma was the tie of the round. I think worth noting that only Atlanta had a better XG for expected goals forward than Roma. And I think Sevilla might just get through. The best bet I've seen, and I liked them on the outright as well, is maybe Olympiacos at 66-1 on the outright. Obviously, United's so short as favourite. There's definitely some value in the place market there, with Paddy Power going at half odds. And I think I'm quite negative about Wolves. I think they're a small squad and Nuno's going to lack a rotation counted against them in the run-in. I'm not sure how fit Adama Traore is. And Olympiacos has been excellent since the break, winning 9 of their 11 games in the Greek League. And they've dominated that league, winning by 18 points. So I think I'd take a chance on them to qualify 2-1 this week. And I think they're worth the small bet each way at 66-1 for the outright as well.
Okay, mention of Atalanta. They got me very excited because, of course, on a podcast in what seems like about 8 years ago, Emmett's colleague Jason Murphy said that Atalanta are a big price for the Champions League, and I back them at 150-1. So I'm extremely excited. And next week, when Jack's back in the chair, the team will be discussing the Champions League. Before we wrap up, though, I will ask the lads, if you were only having one football bet between now and next week, who would it be? Let's get the naps. Mark Langdon.
Can we go all the way till sort of Thursday, or has it got to be this weekend?
Yeah, do whatever you like. Yeah, go on, mate.
It's Inter to beat Getafe.
That's next Wednesday, so yeah, you're well inside the deadline. Yeah. Inter to beat Getafe next Wednesday for Mark. Who for Warren?
I'm going to go with Sevilla. I think 11-10 is a really good price, and as I say, at home, I can see him beating Roma.
Okay, and Emmett?
In Serie A this weekend, Sassuolo at 11-10 to beat Udinese. Sassuolo have been excellent since the break. They've been excellent since the break. Yeah, and I expect them to come through here.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you very much, Emmett. Thank you, Warren, and thank you, Mark. Thank you very much for joining us. And like I say, don't forget, we're back next Thursday for a look at the return of the Champions League. Can't wait for that. Please bet responsibly. Enjoy the cup final, and we'll be back next week.
It's the FA Cup final on Saturday, and Paddy Power are giving money back as a free bet if Chelsea win in 90 minutes. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. Becomeaware.org.